Welcome to Law Subscribed. This is your dedicated news source for all things subscriptions and the law. My name is Matthew Kerbes. I'm the subscription attorney, and I believe subscriptions can help bridge the access to justice gap and incentivize attorneys to modernize and scale their practice like never before. In this episode, I interview Alan Rodriguez. Alan is the founder of 1-400, a creative agency for law and legal tech firms, and Singular Law, a law firm incorporated as an alternative business structure under Arizona re-regulation, allowing ownership of law firms by non-lawyers. Alan is not a lawyer, but he is a legal professional who, prior to his current ventures, designed the subscriptions at LegalZoom. Needless to say, that makes him the perfect guest for this podcast, and he does not disappoint in that regard or when it comes to discussing the business of law. Thank you to my sponsors, 650 and Gavel. Links to both in the show notes, more on them later, and remember to use the code LAWSUBSCRIBED when signing up. It lets them know you found out about them from the podcast. You get 10% off, and it really supports this show. If you've signed up using the code LAWSUBSCRIBED, please reach out and let me know so I can learn about how much you're enjoying the sponsors of this podcast. For subscriptionseminar.com, I'm taking firms off the waitlist one at a time in the order they signed up, so sign up now to get your spot in line. I'm an active participant in the process of helping you use the subscription model, so I can only work with so many at a time. Thank you for your patience. This podcast is finally getting more traction, so please rate and review it if you haven't already to help others discover the show, and as always, please share it with someone you know. This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only, and nothing said is legal, ethical, or financial advice. Without further delay, here's the episode. I'd like to welcome Alan Rodriguez to Law Subscribed. Alan, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, Matt, I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to have this conversation with you.
Yeah. Well, I heard you on another podcast. You were talking about how terrible the billable hour is for the future of the profession. I was like, I gotta reach out right away and have you on the show. But I've done my research. But just for my listeners, go ahead and give yourself a little introduction.
Sure. So I'm Alan Rodriguez. I'm currently holding two roles, CEO and founder of 1-400, which is a law innovation agency, and then president of Singular Law Group, which is an Arizona ABS approved law firm. You know, I've been serving the legal industry for about 25 years, always focused on the business of law. I'm not a lawyer. And, you know, my journey getting up to this point has kind of been a series of steps that have given me the insights and the skill set that I enjoy today. So prior to founding 1-400, I was director of attorney services at LegalZoom. And from 2008 to 2012, I created all of their attorney products, helped them go from a do-it-yourself provider to a more comprehensive solution, as we like to describe it. And the big moneymaker there was the subscription legal product, both for business and personal use. I really learned the business prior to that by running the LA County Bar Lawyer Referral and Information Service. Did that for 10 years, helped take that organization from about $500,000 in revenue to about $2 million in revenue, all through just technology changes, operational changes, and focused on, you know, automated systems to generate more business. Yeah.
Well, gosh, when your standard lawyer hears automations, you know, they shiver because they're like, oh, there goes my hourly fee. It's going to be reduced. You know, with all that experience that you have in the industry on the business side of things, I mean, certainly you were exposed early on to like billable hour rates, and that's how lawyers made money. I mean, what were some of your initial impressions when you first were introduced to that model?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting. So like I started my career at the LA Bar, right? And one state bar certified referral services can split fees with attorneys. It's one of the exceptions in most states, RPC, right? The rules. And the LA Bar had been doing this for 75 years. So when I came into this role, I had 75 years worth of financial data of like what the average case was valued at, because we would get these reports from attorneys and we, you know, that's how we would calculate our share of the fee. And so here's what I observed, that like way back, right, like before the 60s and 70s, lawyers were just all flat fee. Like there was no concept of like a billable rate, or at least not what I was able to see. And it was just all flat rate. Like, hey, yeah, I will solve this problem for you for X number of dollars. And then because of accountants who were starting to bill on an hourly basis, you know, in the 60s and 70s, lawyers adopted the model, right, as a way of, you know, catching those kind of fees or contributions that may not have been collected like in a flat fee. And so it's a pretty new concept when you think about it, right? Like the history of law, you know, the billable hour, but it's really inefficient. for all kinds of reasons. And like, all you have to do is turn to the latest legal industry reports from Clio or any number of providers and see like utilization rates, collection rates, and the amount of time that lawyers actually bill. And when you compare that to, say, a commoditized model like a flat fee or certainly a subscription fee, then, I mean, it's just a really inefficient financial model. And when you think about it, like, you know, as a business owner, if you're trading time for money, you're kind of an employee, right? Like, so you created a job for yourself as in a solo firm. But if you want a business, you either have to trade other people's time for money or you have to trade value for money. And that's how, you know, really efficient businesses work, right?
And it's no wonder then at the big firms, they're still using the billable hour because the partners at the very top, I don't think they're billing their time that much, but other people are billing time and they're getting paid.
Yes.
And they're maintaining those client relationships and billing an hour here and there. But for small firm attorneys, not really an option, right? There's not as big of a pyramid structure there.
Yeah.
Though I do see, and that's how I see the profession changing is from the bottom up, from the small firms up to the big firms before we see abandonment of the billable hour. Although there is this whole generative AI thing, which is going to make the billable hour, you know, less profitable very soon, hopefully.
Yeah.
But that disruption aside, yeah, super interesting to get that perspective on the what was originally the flat fee. I also think there was an antitrust lawsuit in that at that time, too, that was filed by lawyers against bar associations for price fixing, anti-competitive price fixing for the flat fees. I think the bar associations used to set that rate. And at least my perspective on it is the subscription model plus flat fee could be a way to fill that gap that was perhaps originally tried to be filled by the billable hour when it came in, which is how do you capture all this additional time? But you don't have to bill that time. You could make your clients pay you a monthly fee in order to just capture, like, this is our communications fee. It's a monthly fee, unlimited communications, right? Even something as simple as that, now you've made up for the difference of underscoping or overscoping, you know, a flat fee project. Like, what are your thoughts on the subscription plus flat fee type model?
Oh, 100%. I mean, look, there's a couple of things. One, let's talk about the consumer at the end of the day, right? There's the person that pays for us to exist, right? You know, the person that gives us employment. So, you know, like when you think about making that sale, right? Somebody's back is up against the wall. They need to hire an attorney. Nobody wakes up like under the billable hour. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, hey, today would be a great day to hire a lawyer, right? Like, so there's some compelling event that happens in their lives. And their back's up against the wall. Okay, so you go to a lawyer, you need some help. And this lawyer says, yes, I can help you with that. Like, here's all my experience. All that sounds wonderful. I'm so glad to have met you. And they're like, I'm going to need a check for $5,000 for a retainer, right? Or engagement deposit. And they're like, well, what's this going to cost me? And they're like, well, you know, depends on the other party. It could be 10 hours, could be 20 hours, could be 30 hours. It's really hard for a person to just give essentially a blank check to somebody without any kind of predictable outcome, right? As where people might be willing to pay you $10,000 and $15,000 if it was predictable. It allows them to plan, right? Like, you know, that sort of thing. So that's one of the benefits for the consumer on the flat fee side. But then on the subscription side, right, this is even better. Like, we can change the dynamic where I'm going to avoid having to deal with a lawyer, where I'm going to be more proactive in protecting my interest, you know, either personal or business, by paying, you know, like on a fractional basis for access to this lawyer,
right?
And save themselves money by avoiding, you know, larger legal issues and improving the quality of life for the lawyer that doesn't have to put out fires all the time, right? Like, you know, you can be more strategic in your counsel to your client.
Right. Instead of being a firefighter, now you're like a fire avoidance consultant. Let's fireproof your house. We're going to fireproof your house instead of put out a fire once it happens.
Right. Now, all that aside, fires will still happen and you'll still be available for that kind of work. But here's the other thing too. If you're a lawyer that's kind of doing it that way, you always have first bite of the apple, right? Like, because you already have an existing relationship with somebody. And they're already paying you. They already trust you because they're paying you, right? Like, you know, it's so much easier to go back to the till for more money than it is to go and find another till, right? Like, you know, go out and look for a new client. So,
and even if that amount that they're paying you is maybe not very much. So like my law firm, Subscription Attorney LLC, my entry level fee is $20 a month. And so I've even found that when And I make it really easy for clients to unsubscribe and resubscribe. And that was before the FTC ruling about click to subscribe, click to unsubscribe.
Yeah, yeah.
But even when they unsubscribe, even though technically there's no engagement and no attorney-client relationship, they still think of you as their lawyer. You know, and so you still 100%. End up getting first bite at that apple because you've established that ongoing relationship where you can talk to them and you're not charging them by the hour. So they call you and they contact you, right? So like, but you know, you're talking about it, you know, in the abstract. And I just confirming that from my experience is that even when they're paying you something like as low as $20 a month, they come to you first. And my HVAC company, I pay them $9 a month to get like membership benefits and like lower costs on things. And whenever I have an HVAC or electrical or plumbing issue, I think of them first because I'm already paying them. And I've hired other HVAC companies for situations where they can't come out and solve my problem, but I always go to them first. So that's a really sure. great point that you made.
Yeah. And I would even argue, I'd take it next level. And I would say, look, you're an estate planning attorney or business attorney, whatever. You have this relationship with somebody, you know, a friend or family member or a colleague is going to talk to that person one day and say, wow, you know, I just got into this car accident. I don't know what to do. And they're like, hey, I've got this subscription to this lawyer. Let me see. Let me run it by them, you know? And then they call you and you're like, hey, I don't do personal injury, but I got a guy or a gal, right? Like that does. And if your state allows, you could split fee, right? Like you could share a fee, you know, get a referral fee, that sort of thing. Again, you have the first bite of the apple. And right. so that's always the trajectory for a consumer that needs legal help, right? Like turn to friends and family member first, absent a referral from a trusted resource, they turn to the internet. And then absent that, they bury their head in the ground, don't know what to do, right? They get some notice from the court or something. But this is my point. Like you can capitalize on those word of mouth referrals by maintaining those relationships with people. So there's a lot of upside. Mm-hmm. You lower cost of acquisition for new clients,
yeah.
building better relationships. So, yeah.
Yeah. So let's sort of, so, you know, you gave us your career trajectory, but you did the stuff at LegalZoom, but why then start 1-400? Like, what was the reasoning behind that?
I'll tell you. So when I was at the LA Bar, I was fortunate to meet a lot of, you know, very interesting attorneys and participate in committees. And one of the committees that I participated on was like this Access to Justice Committee. It wasn't called exactly that, but it was, you know, a bunch of wealthy lawyers sitting around a table. We have great catering, good wine, and somebody slams their fist on the table and says, you know, damn it, Alan, we've got to do more to create access to justice. Unfortunately, I'm up to $4.50 an hour and I'm overworked and I can't really do it, but somebody should step up and do this. And so, you know, like seeing this problem that was, you know, like 80 million Americans being ignored by an entire industry, all that sort of thing, that's what made it exciting for me to go to LegalZoom. Now at LegalZoom, I learned a lot of stuff. Like I learned how to create subscription plans, how to commoditize legal services, do all this stuff. Like we were just experimenting and I really caught the bug. And LegalZoom went off to do what they did, very narrow focus on business. You know, they had a trajectory of going public, that sort of thing. They're valued at $1 billion now, by the way. And I thought like, you know what? I want to help other law firms do this because at LegalZoom, we had a hell of a time from a regulatory perspective to try and make this all happen. And lawyers have always had an ability to do this. Right, have always had an ability to do this. You could just turn it on. You didn't have to jump through all the hoops that we had to do, the registrations, the working with attorneys general and like all that stuff. They could just always turn it on. And I thought like, this is a way where I can help lawyers learn how to make a lot more money, have a better practice, and then solve the access to justice problem. Because you're doing it, Matt, like $20 a month to start. That's crazy low. Like, why wouldn't any business business owner in Illinois do that with you? And it's only because they're unaware.
Right.
I guarantee you it's only because they're unaware. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. But yeah, you solve a big problem, you know, in the industry and you make money. Like it's a no-brainer for me. So that was part of the inspiration.
Yeah. I mean, and it's a no-brainer for me too. And I mean, you probably came to that conclusion before I came to it. But I came to it independently of you. And if any entrepreneur out there ever, you know, discovers that type of a situation, you know, that's validation right there, right? That there's something to it. So 1-400 then, like, where does that name even come from? Like, what does that mean?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So the old California state, I'm based in California. Pasadena, California is my home base. And that was like the origination location for 1-400. And in California, the old attorney advertising rule used to be rule 1-400. So because we also provide marketing services as part of our consultancy, I wanted a name that kind of reflected our deep understanding of the industry. And it was kind of interesting back then, like lawyers would tell us, 1-400 sounds familiar. I can't put my finger on it. And tell them, oh, it's the attorney advertising rule. And they go, oh, crap, I should have known that. Like, that's, embarrassing. But like, no, we'll protect your license because there's certain things attorneys can say, can't say, you can't promise results, all that sort of thing. So it reflected our deep understanding of the legal industry. But California has since changed the rules. It's now like rule 7.4 or something, 7.8 or something like that. But that's the origin story.
Got it. So they've adapted their rules to look a little bit more like the model rules at this
point. Right. Yeah.
Right. Well, I actually love that story. I did not know that when I asked the question. Most lawyers, we only ask questions we know the answers to. But that's why I like doing the journalism thing, because you don't always have to do that. But here, I imagined, because we also have something that we'll talk about, which is simpleclient.com, which spun out of 1-400 or as part of it. You'll tell me more. But I was thinking with the power of, the subscription model, one attorney could serve 400 clients, easy peasy, right? Yeah. So that's 100%. Where my mind was with 1-400. But I do like that story of the origin of it. But do you think about definition?
No, Matt, you're 100% right. So it was interesting. My team recently proposed a rebranding of 1-400, and that's exactly where they landed. Like one firm for hundreds of clients.
Yeah.
And so you'll see, if you follow us on social media, you'll see statements like this that they put together. So our logo's new and our branding's new. And this is exactly where they landed your interpretation. So you're spot on.
Great. Well, I'd like to edit this episode and pretend that I actually read that and actually prepared. But again, I think that just gives you more validation that your marketing team got it right, because I genuinely just landed on that. So then tell me about it. So you said it started with marketing, and I'm sure you still do things like that. But I am particularly interested in how you're helping law firms with the subscription model. And I'd be interested to know, what pushback you've received or the interest level in that aspect of what 1-400 does for law firms.
Yeah, thanks for asking. So let me start with some of our service offerings, because it's going to tie into this here. So we provide services in three areas. And the primary reason why somebody comes to us is because they want to grow their firm. They want to, and by growth doesn't necessarily mean adding bodies, more revenue, more free time, that sort of thing. You want to grow their firm. So there's kind of a formula for doing that. One is awareness. Like in your case, you already have a good business model. More people just need to know it. So we offer marketing services to help capture that. Now, the second area of service is product development, because I think if we think of our services as products, we can then begin to learn how to scale them and offer them. And so oftentimes we'll take a service, like say prenuptial agreements or something, some transactional service, and we'll build a product around it, right? We can automate those things. Most lawyers are starting from templates anyway. We could define scope. We could put all the pieces together and then deploy this on a website, like an e-commerce site. People like the convenience of shopping online. People like pricing predictability, right? So let's do that. So product development is the second area of service. And then the third area is operational or automation consulting. And so that's where we have the marketing piece, we have the product that we can sell now. Now we have to fulfill it in an excellent way, in an efficient way. So that's our service offering. And a lot of this is one of the fastest paths to growth, in my opinion, is by offering subscription plans, fractional, ownership of a law firm to some degree. And so you'll get that through our operational consulting. So that's why we offer the services that we do. Mm-hmm. We're a very technology focused organization. I think the future law firm is an amalgam of software and service, inescapable. That is the future of law. Yeah.
Yeah. When people ask me about my law firm, or if I go on a podcast or something, I'm like, well, I'm a technology company that happens to be a law firm.
Yeah. That's the way to think about it. Yeah. That's exactly the way to think about it.
Yeah. And so, but I happen to come to this on my own. But for attorneys who are out there, I'm so glad you came on the podcast, because while I have started to, as a result of speaking at ABA Tech Show on this, attorneys came to me and they wanted me to help them launch a subscription model. I'm like, I'm a practicing attorney first, but I had enough demand that you can't say no to that. But I'm still never going to. And that's only one aspect of it, right? And I'm only one guy. And I've had other people on the show before, like attorney coaches and stuff. So 1-400 is one of those places where if I have listeners who could go and my program, my seminar that I'm frankly still developing, it, maybe at the time of publication, it will be like in its first cohort, mm-hmm. is very small. And I can't, you know, I'm one person. I'm a true solo. 1-400 is a place that listeners can go if like something's stopping them from launching the subscription model. You have the expertise and the technology and the resources and stuff to help them actually like create that idea that they have in their head.
Yeah. And for us recently, so, you know, we've been doing so much of the consulting side. We want to put a little bit more of that kind of knowledge into practice. So we started to develop a software called Fixie Plans, which would allow lawyers to efficiently run subscription plans. So, and I just want to caution this before I go into this a little bit more, like for the lawyers that are listening, considering it, don't get caught up in the solution just yet. Like first, you know, figure out who the audience is, the features and benefits you want to provide them, and then go. You could do it very low tech with spreadsheets and stuff like that. And then it's not until you have a lot of customers where you kind of need the solution. But anyway, so we started creating Fixie Plans because, you know, of our work in the subscription space. And then, you know, I realized like, hey, we're probably a year out and X number of dollars in engineering work. So what we did is we found a company, Client Rock, in fact, who had built a subscription-based solution. And we acquired that company. So we acquired them late last year and we've rebranded them, redeployed it as Simple Client. So you can go to simpleclient.com and check that out. But it's a technology solution that allows lawyers to spin up a subscription model very quickly using LawPay, Clio integrations, tools that you're already using. But more importantly, for me personally, I don't like to be one of these talking heads that's just kind of advising. I like to practice what I preach. And, you know, the future is an amalgam of software and service. And that's what 1-400 is now, right? Like we've got the service side and now we've got the software as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not even that, but you're also a part of the Singular Law Group in Arizona. And yeah. So, you know, tell my listeners a little bit more about Singular Law Group and how that's taking advantage of the new regulatory regime in Arizona.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for asking. So, you know, I'm not an attorney, so let's just make that clear. But I've been an advisor to a number of re-regulation committees across various states, you know, for the purposes of re-regulating law to promote better access to justice. And Arizona was one of the states that just went all in. They changed their RPC. They've eliminated Rule 5.4 and they allowed non-attorney ownership. So, you know, again, moving from just advisor talking head into like, I'm also walking the walk. I decided to throw my hat in the ring. I formed Singular Law Group last year. We're Arizona, a Supreme Court ABS approved law firm. The goal of Singular Law is to demonstrate, right, like that these alternative business models, that there is another way to do law that solves the access to justice problem and creates a profitable law firm. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the personal motivation. What do we want to do? We want to serve middle income and lower middle income people, the audience that's largely getting ignored by the industry now.
Right. AKA the latent legal market.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, like you can charge $500 an hour and have a really great, you know, life, right? Or you could charge 80 million people $2 each if that's a phenomenal, like, right? Like, you know, and that's kind of the way I tend to look at it. Like,
yeah,
you know, if, and it's all level of effort. And if I can get software to do 90% of the work and the value that the lawyers at Singular Law bring are 10%, the highest impact 10% though, mm-hmm. right? Like it's the strategic thinking, it's the experience and the knowledge to help, you know, our consumers like avoid catastrophe. Like that's really what people are paying for at right. Singular Law, you know?
Right, right. So then maybe obvious question, but Singular Law, is it not billing time or is Singular Law billing time?
In some cases where we really can't define scope, then yes, we still do bill time. It's discounted. And what we do even in litigated, so like divorce, for example, you know, we do some family law. We know everything up until the filing is 100% predictable, mm-hmm. right? Everything up until there. So we don't bill time there. We just like use software to get people to the filing and it's a flat fee.
Right.
And then, you know, depending on, you know, if there's like mediation or these other things will always kind of flat fee wherever we can define scope. And, you know, I would say maybe 25 to 20% of our work may still be hourly because we just haven't taken that on yet. Like, we don't have enough data to support, like, hey, on average, this is what it's going to go for here at our firm. And when we have that data, you can bet we're going to turn that flat fee too.
When I went solo, I pivoted from mostly litigation to a transactional-only practice. I did not have a database of documents to automate. That's why a business and employment legal document database and automation tool like 650 is super useful. I can rely on the quality of the documents in 650's database since they're putting excellent legal minds to work curating and updating their documents and automations over time. When you're not billing by the hour, outsourcing and efficiency matters, and 650 can help you scale your practice to get high-quality documents drafted in less time. Use the code LAWSUBSCRIBED at 650.com and when being onboarded to get 10% off. If you're not a business and employment attorney, or you have your own documents that you'd prefer to use, then my next sponsor, Gavel, is the automation tool for you. Gavel allows you to build shareable, client-facing workflow and document automations. In other words, Gavel helps you create a legal practice where attorneys can monetize the value they bring clients in productized form at scale via subscriptions and flat fees. Use the code LAWSUBSCRIBED at gavel.io to get 10% off an annual subscription. There's no one right way to automate and scale your practice, but with one or both of my sponsors, 650 and Gavel, you can take your subscription law firm to the next level. Links to both in the show notes. Now back to the show.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you've already said that you're planning to do it eventually with the data, but I've asked this question before to firm owners who are doing subscription or flat fee everywhere except for like one or two things. And I'm like, just think about a number, you know, that you'd be happy with in the worst case.
Yeah.
You know, maybe multiply it by 2 or 1.5 if you're generous. See if the client is willing to pay that on a monthly or flat fee basis, depending on what the type of thing is. And if they say yes, I mean, that's worst case scenario. So yes, there still may be a couple cases that hit that or go past it. But now if all clients are paying that worst case scenario, and you're happy as the firm owner and they're happy to know what the fee is, I mean, I'm sure you could think of a number even before you had the data, Alan, where like your firm would be happy getting that price and your clients would be happy paying it potentially.
You're 100% right. Yeah, 100% right. You know, at the LA Bar, one thing I learned in LA County in the late 90s, early 2000s, when I was kind of looking at this more closely, I would say that at least with our data, with our 300 or so participating attorneys, the average divorce was going for $6,000-$7,000 in LA County. Like some, sure, you hear some stories about 30,000, you hear some, you know, that like, oh, we've decided to reconcile, right? Like, but the average divorce was going for 7,000. And I thought to myself then, it's like, you know, if I was a family law attorney, I'd just say I do divorces for 7,000 bucks. I don't care what it is. It's just 7,000 bucks. You know, and if you had the courage to do that, like you'd be on the money. It's the law of averages. You know, you'd be on the money.
Right, right. And this was the biggest challenge I got when I spoke at Tech Show. Somebody was like, well, if you're charging per page, which is how I've decided to do it, it's $20 a month and $50 a page for subscribers. Mm-hmm. And then with the packages that I sell, I'm no longer charging per page, it's per project. So some projects are 2 pages, some are 30. And I charge, it's built into the package, right? But for the per page, she said, she challenged me. She's like, well, what if one page is really difficult and complicated and has nuanced clauses and you got to negotiate it, redraft it a million times, but then there's some pages that are really easy. It's like, well, you just answered the question.
Yeah, yeah,
you
right.
Know, it all balances out in the long run. Some pages will be more difficult. Some will be signature pages, although I usually don't charge for signature pages, but you know, if it's just a signature page.
Sure.
But, you know, like that's it. It's the law of averages. On most of the cases, $7,000, if you settle, you didn't even have to end up, you know, mediating it or whatever. Just the parties decide, you know, you just made $7,000 and it only took you a month. So
100%.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing, too. Like, you know, one thing that lawyers have to consider when thinking about subscription services is utilization rate. Right. Mm-hmm. So what's important, utilization rate is how many of your subscribers are using your service in a given month, right? Like a gym membership, you know, right. Not everybody walks into the gym at one time. If they did, it would kind of break the system. So a healthy utilization rate, in my opinion, would be something like 25% of your total subscribers. So if you have, you know, 100 business owners that are subscribed to your service, about 25% of them are using some form of your features or benefits on a monthly basis. Now, if the features and benefits are technology-based that don't require any of your, you know, expertise, your work, right? Like say you have a forms library available to your customers, let them use that 100% of the time, because the higher the utilization, the lower your attrition, right? So churn, you know, lower your churn rate. So, you know, more subscribers, less churn means a larger margin of profit, right? Like every month as it grows, it's like compounding. Too low utilization will likely lead to churn, higher churn. So people are going to think like, hey, you know, I've been paying for this for 4 or 5 months. Like, I haven't used it in a while. You know, let me just cancel this, save the $20 or $40, you know, whatever that fee is. But I think when lawyers think subscription plans, they think that they're just going to get abused.
Right.
You know, I mean, like, they're just going to take it on the chin and the customer is going to call them, you know, like a million times a month. And that's just not the reality. The average American has 1.8 legal issues per year. And most Americans don't even know it's a legal issue. They just think it's like bad luck or something, you know? So,
right.
Yeah, it's not the reality.
Part of the reason they don't know is because lawyers are only issue spotting for things like, you know, do you have mesothelioma? You know, have you been in a car accident? Like the billboard lawyers are spotting for those people that don't know their problem is a legal one.
Right.
But we can't do that for everything. But if they're already paying a lawyer something a month to call or email or message or text or whatever, now they could be like, hey, you know, this thing happened.
Yeah.
You know, and now all of a sudden, you know, they're not just paying your, depending on what your subscription is. For me, $20 a month is just access and legal advice if I could give it over the phone or in a Zoom or message, right? But
sure.
But usually when they contact you or you encourage they contact you and then they contact you to avoid churn, they have something that they need help with. And then it's your additional services kick in that that they know what it's going to cost, or it's time to go up a subscription level because they don't want to pay a la carte. So like that's what happens. It's not being overwhelmed. And this is why I do, and I'm curious about your perspective on this, I do true month-to-month subscriptions. Now, it's going to be harder to do in litigation because you have to be able to file the motions to withdraw and all that. But for transactional, I do true month-to-month. So if my client is abusing, if I feel they're abusing it, I could drop them just like they could drop me.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that?
You know, I think like I think it depends. So I'm a big fan of month-to-month, right? Because what you do is eliminate risk for the consumer. They don't know you yet. They don't trust you. They don't know like, is this really for me? Like, how often do I even need it, right? So like it eliminates any of those doubts. It makes the sale easier for sure. But depending on like the price, churn is a real problem, right? In subscriptions, that's one of the problems that you have to tackle. So I'm also a fan of like, look, if you're going to have to make a $20 a month sale, why not try to make a $240 annual sale, right? It's kind of the same difference. And at $240 for a year, you're still at lower than one billable hour, right? For your average attorney.
Yeah.
I think like, you know, to your point about like, hey, not everybody's going to be an ideal customer for me as the business owner, right? For you, Matt, like as the person offering the subscription plan, you know, just make sure that your terms, your engagement letter, you know, has an out for you. Yeah. Like, you know, hey, we will cancel and then refund the balance or something like that. But yeah, I think it's on a case basis. And in fact, I would say offer the $20 a month and then offer them like a 15% discount if they subscribe annually. And it actually improves your cash flow and makes your churn numbers look better anyway.
So, the only reason I didn't do that to get started is because I didn't want to have to open an IOLTA account in the beginning. And so if I did do that, though, I think based on at least Illinois' legal ethics, I'd have to, you know, put the difference of the rest of the year into an IOLTA account. And then, you know, you do that. You set it, it'll be all automated, right? You set it up, you automate it. It transfers at the end of every month, the 15% discounted price or whatever. So, I mean, I 100% agree with you from a business standpoint, but just from like the legal ethics compliance side, it's like a whole extra lift. But yes, I think that's the dream, is to be able to offer that and do the Shopify-like experience with it.
Yeah.
Which it sounds like, and that brings me back to a question I actually meant to ask you earlier, Alan, which is that those automations that you're building, those products that you're helping lawyers build, you know, is that custom solutions that you're creating in-house? Are you using like third-party technology providers, like a couple of them sponsor my podcast. You know, how do you go about that? Do you find the right third-party solution for that firm based on their needs? Like how does that part work?
Yeah, so historically, that's what we've done, right? So we use some third-party solutions to kind of automate the experience. And it could be that the law firm is already using a tool, like say Lawmatics is a common CRM, offers a lot of automations, very powerful software. I actually use it at my firm. So shout out to Lawmatics for
that.
There you go. Yeah, you can hack your way through a CRM and kind of create these automations. But it was also the motivation to develop SimpleClient.com, right? So now with SimpleClient, it's designed for subscription lawyers. So you sign up with your LawPay account. LawPay offers a recurring billing. We've built a dunning process because one of the things when you have 200 subscribers or whatever, people's credit cards are going to expire. People are going to use debit cards, insufficient funds. There's 64 reasons why your credit card might not work at any given time. So our software has a built-in dunning process that goes out and just tries to collect that money for you without you having to call the phone or checking to see if hey, they're calling me. Can you check to see if they're currently, current on their payment of $20 a month or whatever, right? That could be a hassle. So we've solved that problem. And then from the user perspective, you can only gain access to your benefits, your legal plan, your legal subscription benefits, if you're current on your payment. Right. So it kind of locks them out of the portal, that sort of thing. So now we try to funnel more people into that tech, which is pretty flexible. And, we'll work with family lawyer, with business lawyer, with estate planning lawyer, that sort of thing.
Right. Is it only with LawPay? I'm asking for a friend. Also for myself. No, I have Gravity Legal for my IOL stuff. So I actually use Stripe integrated with my client portal for earned fees. But for IOLTA transactions, I use Gravity Legal. So do you also integrate with them or is it exclusive with LawPay?
No. There's nothing exclusive. It's just a time. So Gravity Legal, Dan Lear is a good friend of mine and he's in our product roadmap for getting onboarding that. Yeah.
All right. Good to know. And all right. Yeah. So that answers that question because there's so many technology providers out there.
Yeah.
Too, for the different things too. Cause now you're automating this payment experience with SimpleClient. You're simplifying it. But then things like document automation or some other CRM type features, dozens, if not hundreds of solutions out there. It's hard to know. I mean, Law Next, Legal Tech Directory, I've had Lumos Marketplace as a Canadian one that started out of Canada on the pod. And, how do you even figure out the different technologies out there. I mean, how do you say that?
Yeah, it's tough for lawyers, right? Because there's so many solutions, everybody's competing for the legal market. Yeah, I mean, this is where ask a friend, colleague, jump in some of these really great Facebook groups, where lawyers are already sharing tips, ask how other people are solving it. I mean, obviously I'd love for people to give a SimpleClient listen, but it's not going to work for everybody. You might have special needs. Talk to a consultant. That's why 1-400 kind of exists.
Right. Well, hey, SimpleClient has the freemium model, so it's easy to give it a try.
That's right.
Looking right now. I wish I could do a freemium something with legal services, but I can't just be entering into attorney-client relationships with anyone who goes to my website.
Yeah,
so.
Of course.
For singular law, then.
Sure.
Clients, the ones who are paying the subscription and flat fees, what has been their, I know it's only been a year or so, but what's been their feedback on that. And, if they've ever, because I guess some clients, when you're serving the latent legal market, like we are, they maybe have never hired a law firm before. So maybe they've never had to pay the billable hour. So, I mean, I guess this question has a different answer if they've had to pay the billable hour before or not. But with that in mind, I mean, what have your clients thought about predictable pricing?
Oh, I mean, that's every client wants predictable pricing. I like that. Again, they want the convenience of shopping online. And they want predictability, even if the cost is expensive, you're doing great by selling it at $28 and making it work for you. But there's no reason why, if you go to BeverlyHillsLawCorp.com, former client of ours, his subscription starts at $1,000 a month. And he has a number of subscribers that are, approaching five figures a month. And I guess my point in bringing that up, it's people will pay for value right? That's what they're really buying when they get a subscription. They're buying value from you. They're not buying like 20 minutes of your time or 5 minutes of your time, right? They're buying value. They're buying access to you. And people are willing to pay $10,000 a month in some cases if they're getting the value back, right? So, you know, what's the feedback, you know, like from the customers? Of course they love predictability. Like, it's great. Like, hey, I can make a one-time payment and get a discount, you know, for an annual payment, right? Like, again, $240, but like, there are these real considerations that you brought up that lawyers do need to consider, right? You know, in terms of IOLTA accounts. But where that isn't a challenge, you know, like, you can charge one time for the whole year, and that's great. They can forget about it. They can budget that, you know, and make that work for them. I mean, people love that. They've always wanted that.
Yeah. Like with all the tools I'm using, Calendly, Zoom, you know, like, you know, you pay, I'd rather save the money and pay annually upfront. Insurance, yeah. You know, I'd rather make the savings and pay in one payment once a year.
Yeah.
So same with law.
Yeah. You know, like, Matt, the experience you create for your users, right? Think about it, like how that compares to the experience of like right before COVID. A lot of this has changed more so, but like before COVID, you're like a middle-class person and you have this legal issue and the lawyer says, you have to come to my office. Lawyers oftentimes use this as like, are they a serious person, right? Like that's kind of one layer of filter. Then you go there and you may or may not pay for the consultation, which is fine. And then the lawyer says, yes, I can help you. But you as a consumer, you had to take time off work. Maybe you docked pay because it's non-covered absence. You pay for parking in some downtown high rise, like $25 or whatever, right? Then you go there, the lawyer says, yes, I can help you. I'm just going to need a check for like $3,000. You're like, man, I didn't bring my checkbook. They were like, well, here's the engagement letter. You take that and you send me the check or you come back and drop it off, right? Like, what a terrible experience to get started, right?
I know.
But like now with subscriptions, it's like, hey, just go online, go to my Calendly, pay $20. Now you've got me for the month, right? Like, you know, it's just a much seamless, you know, like I would say next level, maybe consider some like after work hours, depending on the audience you're serving. Like you're serving businesses, Matt. So like, you know, there are standard business hours, but like if you're serving middle income people, why not have some evening or Saturday hours, one, two nights a week? So that way people aren't taking time off of work to do this sort of thing. But
I do serve everyday people, but I mean, just businesses use my services more frequently. So I tend to, you know, be spending more time in their things. But yeah, I did do that, Alan, before I had a kid.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course.
Now it's hard. I do have some weekend availability that I block off to let some clients book time with me if they need to. But that's for any subscriber. I don't, you know, demarcate that to certain different, you know, different levels because I want them to call me. I want them to schedule time with me or message me. And so I'm happy to, you know, to accommodate them. But most of my clients, when they pull that trigger on, like, I'm going to sign up as a client, has somebody gone on my website, read my engagement agreement and signed up as a client. Usually they book an intro call. Most of them decide they're going to hire me like after work hours. So when I see those like payments come through, I get those email updates. Sometimes I'm usually not checking my phone at night, but like in the morning, like when I look, I'm like, oh, I got paid last night.
Yeah.
You know, because that's when they did it. So I do try to like on occasion message back or do some things back because I will get a lot of messages and stuff in the evenings.
You can automate those too. Hey, Matt, can I give you, because I think it's important for your audience. Like for those of you who are listening, if you haven't picked this up already, what Matt's done is create a client-focused law firm. Right. Like, so you've looked at what their specific needs are, you know, the audience you serve, and you're building a business around that, which is much different than the way it was done traditionally. And because you've chosen to do that, Matt, like making these hours available, making it convenient for them, giving them pricing, giving them all the things they want, like that has the best chance of succeeding and scaling compared to any other law firm, in my opinion.
Hold on, Alan. Let me go get my wife and bring her back in here. So you could repeat that. No, I'll just have to play her this episode.
Yeah. Buy you another 5 years or so, right? But it's true. I mean, like that's literally what I'm hearing you describe. It's like you understand your customer journey, your client journey. You understand very intimately all the things that they suffer from them. And like, you know what? I'm going to exist for their benefit.
Yeah.
And in doing so, you're going to benefit a ton. So, you know, I think it's great. I think you're like a role model for like subscription law firms, man.
That's why I claimed the title, the subscription attorney, even though they've been doing it, even though it's been around.
Yeah.
I had the original attorneys using it on my podcast, and I kind of offered to them. I was like, you know, so you're the subscription attorney, you're a subscription attorney. They were like, no. I do trademarks and I charge a subscription, or like nobody wanted it. So I claimed the title. But
nice.
But back to you, Alan, as we begin to wrap up the interview here. So you've been challenging the status quo, you know, in the legal industry for a long time. What has been, some of the pushback, like what's some of the most common things that you've heard from lawyers who are unable to challenge that status quo? And have you seen any paradigm shifts from those lawyers over the years? And like, what do you think was the reason of that? Because that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to create that paradigm shift with this podcast.
Yeah. Well, over the years, because most of my work has been in the .com, you know, kind of space and that sort of thing, the comment that we get is like, you know, I worked really hard to earn my degree and I have to follow these rules and I have to pay malpractice insurance. Like it's very expensive being a lawyer, and I get it. It's very tough being a lawyer because the rules aren't always clear about what you can and can't do, you know, that sort of thing. So people feel like the .com is cheating. And so I get a lot of comments of like, hey, you know, using technology kind of cheapens what we do. And there's this mentality that like a lawyer has to work hard to be able to deliver value to their clients. And so I get that criticism a lot, but I think that only exists in their head, right? Like, no, you don't. Like, you just need to deliver value. Yeah. And your everyday person doesn't care if a piece of software delivered the thing that they want or, you know, a lawyer did. Like, they don't care. They just care about the solution. I'll give you an example about this. So like, the lawyers used to get really angry at us at LegalZoom for selling business LLC formations, you know, corporate formations for like $179. And I would tell lawyers, it's like, hey, well, why would you do that? Like now, today, I can go to the California Secretary of State site, pay $25 and get my LLC done in 10 minutes.
Right.
But lawyers shouldn't do that. They should never. What you should do is sell the operating agreement, because the operating agreement is where it's going to tell when the business falls apart, you know, all that sort of thing. And your insight, your knowledge of like how these things play out and everything, that's the value. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so that was a common thing. And I think it's just lawyers not seeing their work the right way. The other one, you know, as it relates to subscriptions, it's like, how do you make money off of $20? How do you make money off of $40? And I think like lawyers maybe need to visualize some of these financial models about how it's like compounding revenue. You know, like when you're transactional, pure transactional, you start the month from zero. And you have to claw your way to like a six-figure outcome at the end of the month, right? As where, you know, with subscriptions, you might be starting at 20K, 30K, you know, and if you did nothing, right, you didn't try to add another 10K that month, you'd still have that, right? So like,
right.
I think that's the other one. And then the final one is that like, this can't work because the clients will beat them up, you know, and that also isn't true.
Yeah, which we went into. So sort of last substantive question for you here. We've talked a lot about access to justice from the client perspective, right? But in mm-hmm. terms of like improving the profession, and I'm particularly interested as a non-lawyer, I hate that term, but you know,
yeah.
Give me a
legal
better
professional,
term.
Legal professional.
Right. Legal. And so, you know, what is like, I see the subscription model as the solution to like the problems that we've seen from ABA data on the profession, right? Less than 20% of firm, big law leadership are women, right? Even though we have more women going to law school than men at this point. And I've seen, and from my podcast guests, most of my guests have been women, are women attorneys and attorneys of color, right? And so like, they're the ones innovating in this model. So I see it as like, this is the way. Right. To quote The Mandalorian, for like finding what that big law experience won't get you, even though it should be better for women and attorneys of color in that traditional law firm setting, it's not. And so they're leaving and they're innovating in this model. And I follow in their footsteps. Do you like is the subscription model the way?
Oh, 100%. And I'm going to speak personally for a second. As a Mexican-American, I've encountered some of this you know, feeling like the boardroom wasn't designed for me sometimes, right? And so what did that force me to do is think of like, well, how do I create my own boardroom, right? Like, how do I create Like, and it's just driven me to innovation. And so maybe I think like some of the lawyers that you're describing, maybe trying to innovate and find their own place because they don't necessarily feel welcome in a traditional model, let's say. But yeah, subscription is a really great way for a solo lawyer to start creating wealth in their business. And the other thing too, like it might not be in your roadmap now, but if you want to sell your firm, like I see lots of firms, you know, like lawyers that I want to sell my firm. So what are you selling? You, right? Like you've just been working hard all your life. Like you have no assets. You have nothing that like a business owner like me wants to acquire. But if you had a subscription model and you had 1,000 subscribers paying $20 a month, that's probably worth 7x, 8x, 10x of whatever you thought your law firm was worth without. Right. And so even as a solo, that could be potentially huge value to you.
Yeah. 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 That's a great final takeaway. But my actual last question for you, Alan, is a hot dog a sandwich and why?
Oh, yeah. A hot dog is a sandwich because it's smashed between two pieces of bread, even though those pieces of bread might be conjoined.
All right. Where can people find you if they want to find everything that you're doing or they want to follow up?
Yeah, three websites, one400.com, one400.com, simpleclient.com for information about our subscription product, our portal. And then finally, if you're interested in the law firm and what we're doing there, you can go to Singular Law.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show.
All right, Matt. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks again to 650 and Gavel for sponsoring this show. The best way for others to discover this show is for you to share it with someone you think would find a value from it. Follow me on LinkedIn, since that's where I'm most active on social media, and click the bell towards the top right of my profile to get notified about all of my posts about this podcast and everything else I think is valuable for you to see. To get in touch, message me on LinkedIn or email kurbis@lawsubscribed.com. All links are in the show notes. Until next time, this is Matthew Kurbis with Law Subscribed.